All right. Dealing with forgiveness. We had an interesting fellowship this morning. I think most of you know I go to a garage fellowship a couple blocks away from where we live. And Wednesday mornings at 9:15. And it's a group of mostly retired coaches and college athletes and men that have known each other and have brought different people to the fellowship. I think there's about 12 of us there today. And the subject that we got into was forgiveness. And a question came up in light of the forgiveness that we have that God has given us. And we're going to take a look at this forgiveness, because when you see what God has done to forgive us through His Son, it takes care of sin in the past, it takes care of sin in the now, and it takes care of sin that we mess up later in the future. And it's a pretty good deal, isn't it, when you when you look at it. So, but we had a question about this, and so I didn't think we really got an answer from the Word. So when I got home, I took some time to work the Word on this. And so I want to get into the subject of God's forgiveness. And I'll share with you in a moment the question that came up, okay? I wouldn't be surprised if this was something that you thought of too, or a question that you've had, or even a concern. So, you know, of all the spectacular truths that have flooded the hearts of a person when they're born again, having that once and for all forgiveness that God has afforded us is phenomenal, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Just amazing that God would be so gracious, loving, merciful to forgive us so that we could have a close relationship with Him. It's amazing. So when we get born again, we receive this forgiveness, but we receive a lot of great things, don't we? What do we receive when we get born again of God's Spirit? Help me out here.
Sonship.
Sonship. What? Holy Spirit? What else?
Power.
We get power from on high.
Healing.
Good health.
Healing.
Healing.
Prosperity.
Yeah, prosperity. What about being an heir? Heir of God? Joint heir with who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. We get who in us?
Christ
in us. The hope of glory. So, yeah, we get the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of wonderful things that we receive that makes the Christian life amazing. And along with those things, we have God's forgiveness. All right? So, and this forgiveness not only affects anything that we might have done in the past that has held us back from moving ahead with the things of God, or even in the now. And what about the future? We're going to make mistakes in the future. So how do we deal with that? So it's amazing that God did what He did to pay the ultimate price with His Son, His perfect blood. Jesus Christ's perfect blood paid the price, didn't it? Mm-hmm. But really, when you think about this great forgiveness that we have, it's difficult for our two-bit brain to really accept it. I mean, come on, God. I mean, we mess up, and You're still going to have us sanctified and redeemed and forgive us so that we can have a sweet relationship with You all the time. You know, it's, you know, a child with a parent, they're not perfect, are they?
No.
The parent loves that child, and if that child does something wrong, what happens? There's consequences, aren't there? And maybe that parent is mad at that child for a day or two. Who knows? But depending on that or what happens. But eventually things get healed and taken care of. But with God, it's just so big and wonderful that we can have His forgiveness not only from the past, but for the now and future. So here's the big question that begs an answer. If this is how God set it up, that we can have his forgiveness, well, why even, you know, worry about sinning in the future? You know, heck, we can just kind of go along, and if we mess up, no big deal. We're covered. So why even try to live a real holy life? I mean, it's a question that comes up. And there's a verse in the Bible we'll look at that has that question in it. But let's take a look at God's forgiveness. Let's go to chapter 10. We're going to look at his forgiveness in a comparison from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And Hebrews chapter 10 does a good job with this. Okay? So, and our goal is to get an answer to why we shouldn't just go ahead and live a sinful life, because we're going to get forgiven anyway. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get in here to verse 1, chapter 10, Hebrews. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. All right, talking about these sacrifices in the Old Testament, they had all kinds of things that they did to clean up their act, but it wasn't perfect, was it? For then would they not have ceased to be offered? You know, if the sacrifice did the perfect job of cleansing up the sin, why are they still doing it? We would have stopped doing it. Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And of course, in the Old Testament, that's what they did to take care of their sins. Wherefore, verse 5, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times?
Once and for all.
Once and for all. So Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice. And he did it once and for all. That's it. It's paid for. Okay, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So are you sanctified in the Lord?
Yes.
Yeah. So this verse refers to us. One offering. The offering of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he hath perfected how long? Forever. So the word says we have it forever, right? That's it. Once and for all, that's it. Whereof the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sins. If it's the remission has happened, it's been taken away, then there's no more offering for sin. Don't need it. It's done. It's over with. Okay? So, this is what the Word says in light of our forgiveness that we have. Okay? Now, when you think about it, this is just, and we were talking about it at this garage fellowship, the guys, this is too good to be true. I mean, come on. I mean, we're going to mess up, and so why don't we just keep messing up? Why do we want to be holy all the time? Well,
get points for that.
You get points in heaven. I don't know if that's in the scripture, but we're going to look at some more scripture to see if we can get an answer to this, okay? And what I think happens, and this is the problem, is we think it's too good to be true, then so we don't think it's true. We kind of walk in that condemnation of sin because we make mistakes and we kind of, I'm forgiven, but man, if I keep doing the same thing and stuff, then, you know, God's just only going to go so far. But that's not what the Word's saying, is it? So, wow, this is just too good to be true. Well, let's go to another section in the Word, see if we can get a little closer here to dealing with this question, okay, that's bugging us. Because we want to get to the point that we believe what God's Word says so that we can walk in victory with it. And that there's no questions, no hesitations, no condemnation. So Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Okay. Chapter 5. If I had more time, we would start probably in verse 1 or verse 17, but we're going to start in verse 19. Verse 19, Romans chapter 5. And I think you'll pick it up here, what's happening. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Now, who was that one man that disobeyed God?
Adam.
Right. And if we read the previous verses, it reiterates this over and over and over again. All right, where were we, 19? Mm-hmm. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. If one guy screwed it up for everybody else, one guy could get it right for us, for everybody else. That's the logic being said here. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. You know, with the law, now we can spell out our sins, you know, really good now, because we got all these laws and we break them, and there we got more sin going on. So moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did what?
Much
more abounded. So there's a grace of God that comes into play whereby this forgiveness works for the past, for the present, and for the future. Okay, much more abound. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, because with sin, the ultimate result of sin is death. Even so might grace, what? Reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that amazing? Grace reigns. Now, chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? What are we going to say about all this? This is so fabulous. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Mm-hmm. There it is. There's the big question. Well, why don't we just go ahead and continue in sin so grace can abound more and more? Well, let's see what God says. Let's look at the next verse. What's the next verse say?
God forbid.
God forbid. In the Greek, the words here, God forbid, is a term that the Greeks would use to express an absolute abhorrent feeling against something to the degree that you just wouldn't even think about it. You can't even go there.
My New King James says, certainly not.
Certainly not. Yeah, that nails it. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Okay, we're dead to sin. Why would we live to it? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what?
Newness of life.
Newness of life. We fully and completely identify with Christ, don't we? And that's how we should see our life. And that's how we should understand this forgiveness issue that we're talking about here, because we fully identify with him. We died with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. So we should walk in newness of life. Did he walk in newness of life after he was raised from the dead? Yeah. Wow. Did he ever? Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve what? Sin. See, this is the logic by which we should understand and appreciate who we are in Christ, that we have his forgiveness, and that we can walk in newness of life. Because we don't look at the opportunity to keep sinning because we'll get it covered. We look at the opportunity that we fully identify with Christ, and that we can walk in newness of life as he did. Wow. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, verse 6, with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth, he liveth unto who?
God.
We live unto God, see? That's the life that counts. We live unto God. All right. Now, verse 11, there is pretty interesting because it starts off giving us four commands. It puts it in the command voice. So it's a stronger emphasis here. Likewise, reckon ye, or come to the conclusion. If you're not from the South, you might not understand what it means to reckon, right? So it means come to the conclusion. Likewise, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So number one, what we need to do is recognize that we're dead to sin. And we should have that attitude of mind. We're dead to sin. Why would I want to sin? Why would I want to break fellowship with God? Why would I want to live in the old flesh, worldly lifestyle? I'm alive unto God. Why would I want to live any other way? Yeah, that's how we should be thinking.
Amen.
Verse 12. I got an amen. All right. Verse 12. Number two here, let not sin therefore what? Reign in your mortal body. Don't let it reign. Now it may sneak in a couple times here and there, and we all will fall short, but we don't let it reign in our life. We don't let it just have full course in our life. You know, we do our best, and we are covered by his forgiveness, and we move on with the great reality that it's Christ in us. and that we reign with him, and we don't let the sin reign within us, that we should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye or present your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. We don't do that. We don't present ourselves to live that kind of way. But yield or present yourselves unto God as those that are what? Alive from the dead. Man, if you died and you got up from the dead, how would you feel? Oh, shucks, why didn't you just leave me dead? No, you'd be, all right, I'm alive. I got a second chance of living here. All right. See, this is how, and this second chance sort of talk, figure of speech, is the opportunity to be alive unto God. Not alive again unto this world, but alive unto God. So we are as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we're instruments of righteousness for God. So these are kind of the things we want to be thinking about when it comes to this sin issue. And, well, I might as well just sin my life away. No! You belong to God Almighty. You fully identify with him. You are dead unto sin. You reign unto life with him. We present ourselves as alive from the dead. Now, if this doesn't hit it for you, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10 again. Because if we would have read on, we probably could have answered that question as well. But let's do it. I think to come back here and see what this says, the rest of this chapter will help us understand this even better. So we left off in Hebrews chapter 10, I think verse 18, right?
Right.
All right, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter, having boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. That's how we should be coming before God, not saying, well, I can sin whenever, you know. That's not, no, we're not thinking like that. But we come, we draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith. We have our hearts washed away from an evil conscience. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession, or the word profession is confession of our faith, our believing. So what do we believe? We believe God's word. So we hold fast as we confess God's word without what?
Wavering.
No wavering when it comes to believing. We stick to it. For he is faithful that promised. Amen. And let us consider one another. And this is what we do. This is the action we take instead of being sin conscious. This is what we should be doing. And let us consider one another to provoke. I want you to start provoking here. To do what? Unto love and to good works.
Stir up.
That's what it means, to stir up, provoke. That's what we encourage each other, to live the love of God and to do good works. Do the works that God has called us to do. Those are the good works. And then verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see what? Appearing. The day appearing, Christ coming back. Wow. That's why we don't forsake the assembling of the saints, where the believers get together. The devil does all he can to keep us away from fellowship, we need to encourage each other so we have the love of God to share one with another. So these are some of the things I thought about when it came to the sin issue and recognizing the love of God and that He has totally forgiven us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And yes, we're covered from the past, from the now, from the future. And it's all because that gives us the opportunity to walk with great freedom, to bless one another, to love, to encourage each other to good works, so that we can live in newness of life. Pretty good deal, huh?
Very good deal.
That's a great deal. Pretty good deal. I know it's a little later than we normally go. I got one more thing I want to share with you to close out this teaching, so bear with me. Jeannie wrote a wonderful letter to her prayer partners, and in that letter she shares Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And she uses the Message Bible, which pretty much really opens it up quite a bit. So if you got your Bibles, you want to follow along in the different translations, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. But I think this kind of capsulizes the lifestyle that we're talking about here. And this is the Message Bible. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose His temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, He embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on His own, with no help from us. Then He picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Isn't that fantastic? All right, Lord, thank You for loving us so much and giving us Your unconditional forgiveness, Father, so that we can just have the freedom to live Your love and to bless people and to just have a great lifestyle. So we're thankful we can understand these things and live them and then share them with others. And I thank You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.